I'm well aware of the work of Satan today in this world. But as a preacher, as a believer in God's word, as a believer in the blood, as a believer in the power of the Holy Ghost, I don't want to become so devil conscious that I forget the power of God. Hallelujah! I don't want to be so taken up with what the devil's doing that I forget what God is doing. Amen. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 1, if you will, please. I want to talk about angels for a few moments. And I'm not talking about fallen angels. The whole verses in this first chapter of Hebrews has to do with the greatness of Jesus and the superiority of Jesus over angels. But it makes a place, a very valid place, for the ministry of angels. The 14th verse, speaking of angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Jesus is greater than angels. His name is greater than theirs. Verse 5, he is proclaimed as Son. His dignity is greater than theirs. Verse 6, he alone is worthy of worship. His status is greater than theirs, angels. Verses 7 to 12, his status remains unchanged. His function is greater than theirs. He reigns at God's right hand. But angels have their role in the drama of redemption. It is not at the Father's right hand. They did not die to save us, but they are appointed to the service in the world to minister to the heirs of salvation. Are you a child of God today? Are you an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ? Then, if so, the Bible says that angels are appointed to minister to the heirs of salvation. I do not believe in angels because someone has told me about some dramatic visitation of an angel that they had. I do not believe in angels because UFOs are very angel-like in some of their appearances. I do not believe in angels because ESP experts are making the realm of the spirit world seem more plausible. I do not believe in angels because of the sudden worldwide emphases on the reality of Satan and the occult, just as I have mentioned. I do not believe in angels because I've seen one. I do not testify to ever having seen an angel. I might be like one preacher. His prayer constantly was, Lord, I want to see an angel. Please, Lord, let me see an angel. He said one night, in the middle of the night, he heard these heavy footsteps coming down the hall, and this image appeared in the door that seemed to be 10 feet tall, and he went under the covers and said, oh God, if that's an angel, get him out of here quick. I might experience that likewise or act like that. I believe in angels because the Bible says there are angels. Some 300 references in the Bible concerning angels, different places. So I believe in angels because the Bible declares it to be true. How many sermons have you ever heard about angels? Go to the library. Billy Graham wrote a book a number of years ago on angels. It became a bestseller in religious circles. I have it in my little library. He said when he decided to write about angels, he couldn't find any books on the subject of angels. So he decided to write a book simply called Angels. But there's not enough mention of it. I haven't preached too many sermons about it. As I look briefly and just begin to scan the vastness of the subject, it's so great and comprehensive, it would be impossible to cover it in one sermon. And I'm not interested in angels to that silly approach How many angels can dance on the point of a needle? How many angels can get in a Volkswagen? I'll let you college students decide that, with your bodies packed in there. But not how many angels can be crammed into a telephone booth. I'm interested in angels because the Bible says they are ministering spirits. But they can take on a bodily form. And they have taken on a bodily form. God is interested that His children complete the race successfully. God is interested that we arrive at the goal. God is interested that we have help. He sent Jesus to die for us. He sent the Holy Spirit to be the comforter. But occasionally He sends angels to minister to the heirs of salvation. Psalms 34 and 7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear Him and delivers them. If you could open your eyes this morning, I believe you would see angels around about this building. The Bible says the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him. Psalms 91 and 11 says He will give His angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. Mrs. Billy Graham records in his little book, said when they were in China, growing up as a little girl, a very illiterate Chinese woman, peasant woman, came to Jesus. And she was told about Jesus. She was told about help. One day she went out in the foothills to cut some grass. There were vicious tigers in the area. She had a baby strapped to her back. And out of the grass in the foothills, she heard the roar of a vicious tiger. The tiger seized her and began to chew on her arm and shoulder. She cried out, "Oh, Jesus, help me." And she said that tiger dropped her and turned and disappeared in the tall grass around her. Could not that have been an angel of the Lord that changed that certain death situation? John G. Patton, a missionary to the New Hebrides, said their mission compound one night was surrounded by vicious, wild, killer, cannibal natives. He and his wife prayed all night. They could hear the natives around the mission compound. At the break of day, they saw suddenly those natives turn and leave. One year later, the chief of that tribe of natives was converted to Christ. John Patton said, "Why did you leave when you had us surrounded and intended to kill us?" And the chief said, "Oh, we saw that mighty army of men, army of the heavenly host, coming to take care of one of God's choice servants." During World War II, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker was shot down in the ocean with five of his companions. They disappeared, and for weeks nothing was heard of them. Finally, they were discovered. And Captain Rickenbacker shared this experience. They were starving. And he said suddenly, as they were lifting up prayers, out of the cloud came a seagull and landed on top of his head. Just gently came and sat down on top of his head. He said, "I reached up and took it. Witnessed by five other people, said we broke it in six equal parts and we ate every part of it. Feet, feathers, and all." Later, Captain Rickenbacker became a dedicated Christian. He said, "I believe that was an angel of God that directed that seagull to come and sit down on top of my head." My own son, Alan, who sits here with his wife on the front row, a number of years ago, on the border of Finland and Russia, he and his companion taking Bibles into Russia. Many of you have heard this story, but many of you have not. They were given misdirections. When they reached this point at the end of the rail line, there was no road into Russia. Nothing. They'd spent all their money to reserve a car, and there was no road and no car. They stood in the darkness of the night and prayed. And out of the darkness walked a man and put money in their hand, enough to get on the train and go back another direction to find a crossing into Russia. Alan says, you can believe what you want to. I believe that was an angel of God. Hallelujah. He didn't make it up. He had a companion with him that verifies that story. My wife and I, one morning in England, knelt and prayed. We were on business for the Church of God Military Ministry, and we were going to a military center that day to take care of some business. We left the little bed and breakfast place after prayer. I was driving an old Volvo car, and I don't drive one now, but I believe in Volvos, and you'll understand what I mean in a moment. In less than 1 hour from that time of prayer, that old Volvo was shattered. It was wrecked. We'd hit a large British lorry head-on a curve, and the Volvo was shattered. They hauled it away to the junkyard. My wife and I did not have a scratch on our body. That windshield had been shattered, it looked like, into thousands of pieces. The back of the car was literally filled with pieces of shattered glass. We were both seated in the front, and not one piece touched our face or body. I believe an angel got on the wheels of that car that morning. I believe God sent an angel and took care of us from certain destruction. God says his angels are sent as ministering spirits to the heirs of salvation. Hallelujah. They're not to be worshipped. They're not to be prayed to. But we're to recognize the fact that God has a heavenly army. And that army is surrounding the people of God to take care of them. 2 Kings chapter 6. The servant of Elisha looked out and he saw that vast army, the enemy surrounding their camp. He said, oh man of God, what shall we do? What are we going to do? We're in trouble. Elisha prayed a simple prayer. Lord, open the eyes of the young man that he may see. His eyes were opened and he saw the host of heaven, the chariots of fire, the horses, the horsemen surrounding Elijah and the people of God. I believe his spiritual eyes were opened and he saw that heavenly host that God sent to camp round about the servant of God. And the young man said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I believe God's people need to wake up to the seriousness of the hour and spiritual needs and spiritual warfare and what Satan is doing, to be clothed in the armor of God and to recognize that we're not alone. Hallelujah! There's a battle going on in the heavens, and it'll be determined by what God's people do on the earth, recognizing that God is greater and bigger and mightier and more powerful than all the forces of the enemy. Praise be to God. God provides for his people in every situation of need. Elijah laid down under the juniper tree, discouraged, lonely, feeling like he was defeated. And while he was asleep, God sent an angel. He had prayed a little while earlier, Lord, just let me die. It's all over. It's finished. God tapped him on the shoulder through the ministry of an angel. And the angel said, Elijah, get up and eat. He had a little meal and went back to sleep. The angel touched him again, said, eat some more. I think Elijah, from that day forward, believed in the second blessing. He ate again. And he went in the strength of that meat for 40 days. An angel fed him. Praise be to God. Daniel thrown into the lion's den. Sealed the gate, the door. Sealed to the lion's den. And there he is in the midst of those wild, ferocious beasts that took delight in eating human flesh. The next morning the king comes and said, oh, Daniel, is your God able to save you? He says, God sent an angel and gave these lions lockjaw. Not a one of them has touched me. He's preserved my life in the midst of these ferocious beasts. Hallelujah! I believe this morning that many times when we've been totally unaware of it, God has sent an angel to minister to us. Hallelujah! My little granddaughter, and you'll pardon me for personal reference, and when you mention grandchildren around here, You got to give equal time. But I'm speaking now, so you just wait. Will you, grandparents? My little granddaughter, Alex, you remember when we had the fundraising program, she said to me, as she was trying to come out of that British accent period into East Tennessee, she said, "Grandpa, British and East Tennessee mixed up." She said, "Grandpa, when we build that new church," she meant this new unit, said, "we need a playground and a graveyard." "We've got the playground." But she had a terrible fall this week. She could have been seriously injured. Fortunately, she was not. But she said to her mother, "I believe the Lord had 43 angels taking care of me." I don't know where she got that number. Maybe she needed 43, as active as she is. "I believe the Lord had 43 angels taking care of me." Folks, I believe in angels because the Bible says there's angels. Twice in the earthly ministry of Jesus, moments of severe stress and testing, the Bible says an angel came. This is the Son of God on the earth. This is Jesus. An angel came and ministered unto him. If he needed an angel, there's moments when I need an angel. The Garden of Gethsemane, when his sweat was like blood, wrestling with the agony of the cross upon him, the burden of the world upon him, the terrible pangs of sin pressing in upon him, an angel came and ministered to him. Angels unaware. Peter was in prison. You see in the New Testament quite a few times when angels came, the Bible records it as a fact. Peter in prison, Acts chapter 12. While he was asleep in that inner dungeon, an angel came and tapped him and said, "Peter, wake up." Peter thought he was having a dream or a vision. And the angel took him through the first ward and the second ward. And when he got out to the outer gate, the Bible says that gate opened of its own accord. And Peter was a free man. An angel engineered the most successful prison break you could ever read about. An angel came and touched him and delivered him from prison. But it came about because the church prayed without ceasing. Brothers and sisters, when we get back to the New Testament pattern and begin to believe God, I believe God will send a divine visitation. People will get out of jail physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, set free from the captivity about them. The work of Satan in their life, the chains can be broken by the mighty power of God when the church prays without ceasing. An angel came and touched him. The giving of the law, Mount Sinai, different references. Deuteronomy 33:2 and Psalm 68:20 talks about, 68:17 talks about the thousands of angels that came on Mount Sinai. The law was given by Moses. There was angelic visitation. John 1:17 says the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Moses, he says, is recorded in Hebrews chapter 12. It was an awful, dreadful day when God gave the law. There was darkness, there was lightning, there was trembling. It was so awful, Moses said he dare not touch the mountain because of the fear that was upon him. But angels were present at the giving of the law. But also in Hebrews chapter 12, it speaks of Mount Zion. We have not come to Sinai. We've come to Mount Zion. And there's an innumerable company of angels. It's talking about the introduction of grace, the church age. When we have access to the very throne room of God, there's an innumerable company of angels that are worshiping and praising God, and occasionally dispatched by the word of the Father, "Go down yonder and take care of that child of mine that's in danger. Go down yonder and touch that one that's discouraged. Go down yonder and lift up that one that's carrying a heavy load. Angels, spirits sent to minister, to sustain us and bless us and help us to enter into the fruits of redemption. Praise be to God. Now the Bible forbids worshiping angels. They're not to be worshiped. There's a move that's emphasized angels in recent years where the teaching has come about that we as believers have a right to dispatch angels. I had a preacher in this state not long ago ask me, he said, where is the scripture in the Bible that says we can dispatch angels? I said, I don't know of any. I believe that's getting into the edge of heresy. We have no authority over angels. God has the authority. And He dispatches angels, not me or you. But it's evident there's a ministry because the Bible declares it to be so. Angels are not to be prayed to. Jesus is the mediator between God and man. Some people pray to angels, but we're not to pray to angels. But I believe it's perfectly right and legitimate and necessary many times to pray for angelic protection. I have flown a little bit around the world, not near as much as some people in this congregation, but I've been in airplanes all around the world. And I never get on an airplane, but what I pray, Lord, put your angel on this wing right out here. You may think I'm silly. And when that plane starts to land, I say, Lord, put your angel on that wheel. Get it down right. If that plane begins to shake and vibrate, and Ethan and I was flying one time across the North Sea in a little British plane, small little plane, and we got into a terrible storm, and it was jumping and dipping and rolling. Baggage was falling. And Anita was quite frightened, and I was too. One of those dear British men reached across the aisle and took her hand, and he said, isn't your national motto, In God We Trust? But I was praying, Lord, put an angel on this plane. Bring your angel to bear upon this thing and bring us through the storm. I hope this says something to your spirit this morning. It's impossible to exhaust the subject, but I just want to remind you that angels are ministering spirits.